Right, there's our theme for the message now. We have a great priest. So let's turn in our Bibles, or Bibles on our phones, or wherever we've got them. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. We're spending a few weeks homing in on a passage in Hebrews 10. So it's quite a contrast, I think, when we studied Isaiah and we covered the whole of the 66 chapters of Isaiah just in 10 messages. That was really packing a lot in. But we're trying to look in at just a small passage from Hebrews 10. I'm going to read Hebrews 10 from verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. If you don't fully understand that stuff yet, we'll be looking at it in the next couple of weeks. And since, this is what we're focusing on today, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, those verses, let us draw near to God. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Priest is a role that maybe is a bit more difficult for us to understand than other roles that we see in the Bible, like the role of king. We can understand king fairly well, but priest is someone who maybe has a bit of mystique. What is a priest? Jesus is called a priest a great deal in this book even. And he's called, let's just look up, he's called a high priest. He's called a great priest here in this verse that we're looking at. He's called a great high priest, putting the two things together. And he's called a merciful and faithful high priest. And you'll come across that as you read through Hebrews. It's not an easy book to read, but if you spend time in Hebrews reading through, you'll come across this time and again. Jesus is called a priest, a great priest in the passage that we're looking at. Now, I've already spoken about in the last couple of weeks why you and I need a priest. I maybe don't need to remind you about that, but let me just give you a little example to think about. Look back on the week that's just been. Some of the things that you've thought, perhaps. Have you thought anything about the people that are closest to you in this past week, which if they knew what you thought, your relationship would be in trouble? And you might just need a little bit of help, a mediator, someone to come between you. If you looked at someone and said, you know, thought something about their face, about what they're wearing, about their cooking, about, you know, what you think of them in some other way, and if they knew you thought that, they'd be really upset. Have you done that? Well, you probably have. You maybe didn't even notice it because you think to yourself, no one knows that. It's just my thought. But if that person knew what you were thinking about them, might be your boss, person you have to work with, your next door neighbour, you know, lots of possibilities. Your relationship would be in trouble if they knew that. And you'd need help to repair the relationship. A mediator, someone to go between. Well now, if you have that just in your human relationships, how much more acute is our need of a mediator between ourselves and God? If we have this week complained, grumbled, been ungrateful, resented the way God's been doing things in our lives. We need someone between us and God, because we can't conduct a perfect relationship with God ourselves. We need a priest, and that's what we've been seeing. We need a priest. If we're going to do what Hebrews 10 says and draw near to God, come to God, know God, have life in God, have his forgiveness, and live with God forever, we need a priest. We need someone between us and God, because God's so big, and God's so beautiful, and God's so perfect, and God's so glorious, and He's so holy, and we are so small, and we are so helpless, and we are so needy, and we are so broken, and we are so sinful. We need a priest. We're so completely different to God, so far from God, to bring us together. We need a priest. That is the role of a priest. That is the job of a priest. So we're going to think about Jesus today as a priest. And we're just going to look at four things. Here they are. We have a great priest. He's in the house of God, and we must trust him, and we must go to God. I'll explain all these as we go through this. But you need a priest this morning, and I need a priest. And we have a great priest. So, this is verse 21. Since we have a great priest over the house of God. We have one. That's what it says in our reading, in our passage. We have a priest. In other words, I'll come to that verse in a minute. But in other words, because we've got a priest, we don't need to go looking for one somewhere else. We don't need to try and fix our relationship with God ourselves. That means being our own priest. We don't need to go and try and find someone in the world who really knows God and can help us to get close to God, we think, through their wisdom or their teaching or their understanding or their holiness or their rituals or whatever. There isn't that person. No human being exists who can successfully represent you or me to God and bring us close to God. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can. So we mustn't go anywhere else. We need to remember that. No, we must remember that. Remember, recently we were thinking about human nature. And human nature is universal. It's not like there are good people and bad people. And there's some really, really bad people and some really, really good people. We're all the same. Different circumstances bring out the badness in us in different ways. And sometimes brings it out really seriously. But we're all the same. None of us is perfect. None of us is beautiful in our lives, inside as well as out. Only Jesus. So let's not ever waste time looking for a priest somewhere else. Looking for someone who can bring us to God. There isn't such a person. Only Jesus. So let's look at Jesus. Look at these verses here. These are from chapter 7 of Hebrews. Didn't read this, but this is what it says about Jesus. He became a priest with an oath. When God said to him, so God's oath, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you're a priest forever. Do you recognize those words? Which is Simon in Psalm 110. So God has sworn, he's made an oath, and he said to Jesus, you are the priest forever. And it goes on a little to verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So, the book of Hebrews is teaching us about Jesus as a priest, especially. And it's telling us that he is unique. Because he's the only one whom God has sworn to and said, you're my priest. You're the one who'll do the job of being a priest. And you'll not do it just for a year like the old high priest of Moses' time. You do it forever. You're a priest forever. So he is able to save, it says there, completely and forever. Those who come to God through him. Because he's always living and he's always interceding. Interceding, the word intercede, just means to speak to God on our behalf. Jesus is speaking to God on our behalf. To fix the relationship we have with God, Jesus is doing it all the time. He's saying, oh, there's Roddy. He's sinned again. But God, Father, my Father, I've paid for that one too. I've paid for that one, and the next one, and the last one, and every one. I don't know exactly what it looks like in heaven. I don't suppose it's spoken in the English language, but this is the reality. Jesus is there as the Son of God in heaven for me and for you. And he's speaking to the Father, I know on my behalf, and he does that forever. And therefore he can save us, it says, completely, absolutely, and utterly, and forever. Everything that I will ever need in a priest, I'll find it in Jesus. I won't find it in a guy living in a church house somewhere. I won't find it in some guru at the top of a mountain. Yeah, I won't find it in another religion that man's made up, because nothing that man makes up, nothing that man does, is capable of achieving any kind of bringing together of God and man. It just drives us further apart, because if anyone ever tries to do that for me, they're actually rejecting Jesus by trying. So they're sinning more, they're making things worse. There's one priest, and there's one priest only. There only needs to be one priest. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. He's in the presence of the Father, God the Father, and he's alive forevermore. And God has appointed him as priest, and he's working away successfully as priest, always living to intercede, to speak to the Father on my behalf. We have a priest. Praise God. Praise God. So, the next thing I want to think about is he is in the house of God. Well, we need to think what that means. But here is the passage that I've been looking at. Now, I've been encouraging you to memorize this passage. I don't want to put your hands, but has anyone managed, I wonder, to memorize it? Let's say it through again together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from our guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Well, keep trying. Huh? I was imagining maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, do you think we could surprise the kids by saying it without it being on the screen? Can you imagine that? There's a wee target. Jesus, it says there, is a great priest over the house of God. Now, what's that? What is the house of God? Well, as the writer was writing these words, there was still what most people thought was the house of God in Jerusalem. It was about to be destroyed by the Romans, but it was still standing, and the priests were doing their stuff there. It was a point, a waste of time, because as we'll think about in a couple of weeks' time, the curtain that's mentioned there was torn when Jesus died. It's like God said, I'm done with this. I'm finished with this temple. I'm not here anymore. The temple building in Jerusalem is not where Jesus is. Jesus is not the great priest over a temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is the great priest over the house of God. And the house of God that has been spoken about here is heaven. It's heaven. Now, let me just show you a couple of verses just to prove this. When Jesus left this world, taking the sacrifice of himself with him, he did not enter a man-made sanctuary, didn't enter the building in Jerusalem that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. That's Hebrews 9, verse 24. And then verse 11 says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are ready here, it's what we read a wee while ago, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, That's to say, not part of this creation. So where is Jesus now? He's in the house of God. That's what the verse says that we're looking at. Where's the house of God? Well, it's not in Jerusalem. It's not a building man has made. It's not part of this creation. It is heaven itself. He's in God's presence. That's where Jesus is. So he's on his own there. We're not there with him. He's doing his work as a priest on behalf of his church on earth, and we can't help him. We might want to help him in the way, I remember the story of Samuel going to help the priest Eli. We might want to be little Samuels that can help Jesus, but we can't. Why can't we do it? Because the ministry of the priest that has taken place for the church is in heaven. And we're not in heaven. It's not part of this creation, it says. It's in heaven. We're in this creation. So we can't help. This is very important, because we want to help. I know that if we're in any way sincere about wanting to follow Jesus, wanting to serve Jesus, then the next thing we often want to do is we want to just do our bit towards God accepting us, towards impressing God, towards pleasing God, towards showing God that we're not that bad after all. We want to add to what Jesus has done. Well, we can't. Because the work of priesthood isn't happening on earth. There is no priest functioning anywhere in this world between us and God. Whatever people may call, you know, people who are in religious positions, sometimes we call them priests, no one is doing the work of bringing people to God, because it's all being done by Jesus in heaven. And we are not in heaven. And so we cannot do the work. We can't help Jesus. We must not try to help Jesus. It's very important. And it's a freeing thing. Because often Christians feel like we want to be little priests. We want to try and bolster our position with God. And we try and go through our daily rituals and through our acts and our good deeds. And we think this is somehow boosting our position. It's not. Because we're not priests. And we've got nothing to offer God that he needs or that will impress him. Nothing at all. Only Jesus. He's the priest. He's doing the work. We are not doing the work. The house of God is in heaven, so we can't get into it. We can't do any work for ourselves. It's really important to understand this. I think the Christian church struggles with this. If the Christian church struggles with this, how is everyone else going to know that it's all Jesus? Jesus alone. Jesus is the priest. Jesus is doing the work. And we can't help him because he's on his own in heaven doing it on our behalf. And so, because we can't help him, we have to trust Jesus. It's very important too. Maybe go back to that, yeah. We have to trust him. So that's the next thing. You know, sometimes we are in that position as human beings. Sometimes we're applying for something and we have to send off a form and we have to trust some nameless official somewhere to process the form and do all the different things that need to be done in order for us to, you know, whatever it is, get our visa, get our driving license, whatever it is. Well, it's a poor illustration, but we have to trust Jesus, because we can't do anything to bring ourselves to God and make ourselves right with God. He is doing everything that we need. Because we can't do anything and he's doing everything, what else can we do but trust him? We have to trust him. We can't add to it ourselves. No man-made religion, no rituals, nothing. The only work that brings you to God and me to God today is happening in heaven. and it's being done by Jesus. For some reason, when I was thinking about this, the picture came into my mind of being in a really, really tall building, maybe being at the bottom of a really tall building, or near the bottom. And there's lifts, elevators, going up and down. And it's like I see Jesus going into the lift. The door opens, Jesus goes in, the door's closed, and off he goes up, and I see the number, heaven. He goes up to heaven. And I just have to let him get on with what he's doing. Entirely and completely. And trust. It's greatly freeing. It's greatly wonderful to trust Jesus entirely with keeping me right with God, keeping me at peace with God. But often I will want to add my bit. I want to say, oh Lord, not feeling so good today, not performing so well today, but I'm going to have a really great time of prayer with you, and that'll put me in a better place with you, won't it? And I want to add my little bit to God. Excuse me. A little bit before God to what Jesus is doing. And it's like I'm trying to get in the elevator. So I'm standing at the door, trying to pry those doors apart so I can get in and go up and help Jesus. Well, I remember as a student in the Boyd Orr building, Glasgow University, and some of us had this slightly, there's quite a lot of us in this lift, and we're halfway up, it's quite a tall building. And someone said, you know, if you jump up and down together in a lift, it stops. And of course, we are, you know, the cream of British society, as students in Glasgow University, really a thick bunch. Let's do that. So all of us went, and we got into a sort of oscillation in the lift, and suddenly the lift stopped. Boom. See, I told you. And we stood there. Nothing happened. Well, of course it didn't happen. The emergency stop had come on the lift. Fortunately, there was an alarm. And we pressed the alarm. The fellow came on and eventually came up and got the doors open. And we were sort of halfway between floors, so we had to kind of jump out. And of course, under the lift was a lift shaft. And it's a long way down. So you don't want the lift doors to open. Because if you do, the car, the elevator, whatever you call it, isn't there. And it's a long way down. When we try to do what Jesus is doing, when we try to help Jesus, we want to be up there with Jesus, doing our bit. The truth is, it's a long way down. Because we can't add to what Jesus is doing. We mustn't try. We must give up our religion. We must give up our good works for the sake of pleasing God. We must give up praying and reading the Bible and going to church as a means of impressing God. We want to do good works. We want to serve Jesus. We want to read his word. We want to pray. But not in order to add to what Jesus has done. But in order to get to know what Jesus has done. And to love him. So this should bring us rest. Just trust him. Salvation by faith alone, through Christ alone, the great priest. I must trust Jesus. Finally, we must go to God. We must do it. So we go back to the memory slide here. Middle verse there, the middle in red. Let us draw near to God. This is all that it's about. Why did Jesus come? Why did he shed his blood? Why did he give his body? Why was he a great priest? So that we can draw near to God. It's not something we can just watch, say, interesting. Great that he did that. It's so that we can respond. So that we can draw near to God. Because of what he's done, I have access to God. Because of what he's done, the way is opened, it says there, to God. And I've got to use this way. It says at the beginning, we have confidence to enter by a new and living way. And literally, it says we have confidence to come into the way in to the most holy place. By a way, a living, a new and living way. So that the way is provided. The way in. It's almost like we're driving on a slip road and there's the highway to God that Jesus has opened up. And we're on a slip road and we can join the highway. That's what it's saying. We can come into the way in. That's what it says then. We can have confidence to come into, literally what it says, the way in to God. Through Jesus. And we must do it. We must do it. We'll think, we've got a few weeks to go on this, but you need to think about a lot of things that are still in these verses. We need to think about faith. And we'll come to that in a few weeks. We need to think about faith. We need to trust Jesus. And when we trust him, get into the highway to God that he has opened for us. We need to do it. We mustn't not do it. So, let's just sum up. If I get onto the way into God's presence that Jesus has opened, I'll get into God's presence. If I get onto it, Jesus works. Jesus' priesthood succeeds. Jesus' priesthood's effective. If I get on to the way, I'll get into the presence of God. How do I get onto it? I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ and what he is doing for me and what he has done for me, that it works, that it takes me to God, and I don't need anything else. I don't need anything of what I've done. Nothing of what I've done is going to help. Everything of what I've done is why I need a priest. I need forgiveness. If I believe in Jesus, I'll get into the way to God. I'll get onto the highway to God. And when I get onto the highway with God, I will experience the presence of God. Really, experience the presence of God. Some of you can remember the first time you experienced the presence of God. Because you finally believed in what Jesus the priest had done for you. And because you believed, because you knew he was the way to God, he was the way into God's presence, the highway to God, and you got into that way as you believed, you came into the presence of God. So that's what Jesus' work does. It brings you to the presence of God. And we don't need to go in and out. We can stay. We can stay in the presence of God. And when we stay in the presence of God, we lack nothing. We lack nothing. Nothing at all. So God is saying to you and to me, come. I'm just going to finish on these verses, again from Hebrews. Sounds a bit similar to the verses we've been looking at. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. So let's believe. Let's believe in Jesus. He's gone to God's presence, having died for our sins on the cross. He's gone to God's presence with his sacrifice. Ask the great priest, great high priest. We trust him. He's done it all for us. We trust him. And he's a great priest. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. We know that we are weak. We know what happens when we're tempted. But when Jesus was tempted by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was without sin. So let us then approach the throne of grace. It's another way of saying, let's come into God's presence. Let's draw near to God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because of what Jesus is doing, we can have mercy and grace in our time of need. Are you in a time of need just now? I'm always in a time of need. I can always come because of what Jesus has done. And so can you, to the presence of God, to find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. So come.